It was a riddle, not a command, by Joseph de Monde. Chapter 23. The Sanhedrin. Page 102. Because it is so all-important to understand what Yeshua meant by the Hebrew idiom of "no one knows that day and hour," we must now take a close look at a most reliable Jewish source to become more well-versed in making this our aim. I am including this as a greatly needed supplemental resource because I know there will be still those of you who want to argue against this understanding. All the more reason, then, to leave no stone unturned by more thoroughly unearthing, explaining, and proving these truths to you. When Yeshua was at the temple, they used two witnesses to sight the moon back then. I would like to open with the following statement, which attests to the fact that, before the two witnesses were required, there was a time when the witness and testimony of one well-respected Jew was deemed sufficient. This comes from the writings of Rambam on the crescent moon. Accordingly, in the early generations, testimony regarding the sighting of the new moon was accepted from any Jew without further inquiry, for any Jew can be presumed to be an acceptable witness unless one knows with certainty that he is unacceptable. When the followers of Bathos began conducting themselves in a debased manner and would hire people to testify that they had seen the moon when in fact they had not, the court decreed that it would accept testimony regarding the sighting of the new moon only from witnesses whom the court knew to be acceptable. Moreover, they would examine and question their testimony. It was the de facto system used in Second Temple times by both the Pharisees and the temple priesthood. This is Neusner's translation. Rosh Ha 1:7a. A father and his son who saw the new moon should go to give testimony. B. It is not that they join together with one another to provide adequate testimony. C. But so that if one of them should turn out to be invalid as a witness, the other may join with someone else to make up the requisite number of witnesses. D.R. Simeon says, a father and his son and all relatives are valid to give testimony about the new moon. E. Said R. Yoz, M.S.H.B., Tobiah the physician saw the new moon in Jerusalem, he, his son, and his freed slave. F. And the priests accepted him and his son as witnesses to the new moon, but they invalidated the testimony of his slave. G. But when they came before the court, they accepted his testimony and that of his slave, but they invalidated that of his son. This demonstrates how there were two rival courts and both required two witnesses, although they had different standards as to who fulfilled all criteria of what constitutes a reliable witness. This is, of course, not definitive proof of what the Torah requires in its entirety, but is based strictly on the understanding held by prominent religious leaders of the first century, that they had to have two witnesses to sight the moon each month. Taken in its historical context, however, this is not debatable, but is both common knowledge and factual. The fact that the temple priests and Pharisees agreed on the basic principle, albeit while disagreeing on some of the specifics, is proof that the moon originally had to be sighted so as to begin the month. Again, notice how in both cases they were looking for the new moon to begin the month. The teachings of Rambam also attest to the following. What is the process through which the testimony regarding the sighting of the moon is accepted? Anyone who saw the moon and is fit to testify should come to the court. The judges should bring them all to a single place and should make a large feast for them so that people will come regularly. The pair of witnesses who arrive first are examined first according to the questions mentioned previously. The one of greater stature is invited into a private chamber first and asked these questions. If his testimony is accurate according to the data that the court arrives at through calculations, they invite his colleague in. If their statements are comparable, their testimony is substantiated. Afterwards, the remaining pairs are asked questions of a broader nature. In truth, their testimony is not required at all, and they are being asked only so they will not depart disheartened, so that they will come frequently in the future. Once the court sanctifies the new month, it remains sanctified regardless of whether they erred unwittingly, they were led astray by false witnesses, or they were forced to sanctify it. We are required to calculate the dates of the festivals based on the day that they sanctified as the beginning of the new month. Even if a person knows that the court erred, he is obligated to rely on them, for the matter is entrusted to them alone. The one who commanded us to observe the festivals is the one who commanded us to rely on them, as implied by Leviticus 23 verse 2, which you will pronounce as days of holy convocation. As it stands now, we have a number of people in Israel citing the new moon, and they have become well-trusted and highly reliable experts at it. Each of them makes a record of this information and then shares it with those who are of this understanding throughout the world. We also rely upon others searching for the barley by which to begin the year and make a special point to be on the lookout and share those reports as well. Today we do not have Sanhedrin by which to proclaim the beginning of a given month, but we do have people in Israel who can be likened to the two witnesses. It is these faithful and true witnesses that we continue to rely upon today. And it is from their sightings that we are then able to count the days that lead up to each one of the holy days and determine when they are to be kept. Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, the feasts of Yahovah, which you shall proclaim, holy convocations, even these are my appointed feasts. Leviticus 23, verse 2. We the people must proclaim Yahovah's feasts. He will make the new moons visible and the ripeness of the barley apparent to us, or he will hide them from us. But when we are eyewitnesses to them, then the holy days are to be proclaimed. As you can now see, the crescent moon could not be accurately determined by the court of the Sanhedrin in and of itself. It was instead reliant upon the two witnesses faithfully reporting on a monthly basis that they had seen the crescent moon, especially the first and the seventh months when the holy days would fall. The current Hillel calendar, of which all the Jewish holy days are now calculated from, only came into being after AD 358, and they were only instituted by Rambam in the 11th century.